From KMXT Public Radio in Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Jay Barrett. Coming up this week, we get an update on the progress of winter crabbing in Southeast. We get a hard number recap of last year's King Run on the Cusco and trying to define the essence of the Bristol Bay brand. All that and how commercial fishing fits into the budget gap. Coming up on the Alaska Fisheries Report.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you by Commercial Fishermen for Bristol Bay, permit holders and fishing groups standing together to protect and enhance the renewable fishing jobs and businesses of the Bristol Bay region.
Comfish Alaska this year brought a host of speakers to Kodiak to address fishery issues and how current events are influencing the industry. The state of Alaska's budget gap was at the forefront of the talk when Gunnar Knapp, director and professor of economics with the Institute of Social and Economic Research at the University of Alaska Anchorage, spoke about how it all relates to fisheries. KMXT's Kayla DeRoche has the story.
Knapp said there's intense pressure to cut state spending.
And this has already affected and will continue to affect the budgets of the Department of Fish and Game, Department of Commerce, which pays for ASME, and commercial fishing loan programs. It's leading to pressure on all kinds of other agencies that sort of also are important in one way or the other for the fishing industry.
He said the talk about budget cuts does not take into consideration implications for the fishing industry.
It's more like, you need to cut. Nobody says, well, you're going to have to, if you cut Fish and Game, they're going to close this counting tower, and they're going to close this research program, and they're going to not have these managers. The conversation is not happening at that level as to whether these are rational cuts.
Knapp said that ISER did a recent report where they studied the revenues that the fishing industry brings into the state compared to the cost the state pays in managing fisheries.
One of the results that got a lot of people's attention was that fishing costs the state, at least over the past 3 years, more than it brought in revenues to the state, unlike mining and tourism, which brought in more money than cost.
He said the fishing industry needs to be prepared to respond, and he proposed a couple of arguments.
One, two-fifths of the fisheries business and fish resources taxes are passed through the local governments. So, like, you're paying them. If the state is choosing to give them away to a local government, that doesn't mean that you're not paying them. That's a sort of accounting thing. The fishing industry is generating a lot of money, though a lot of it goes to local governments.
Knapp said Alaska has never managed fisheries for the purpose of having a cash cow for the state. He recalled the Constitution, which says the legislature shall provide for the utilization of all natural resources belonging to the state for the maximum benefit of the people. Knapp used the oil industry as a comparison point.
We say the maximum benefit is how do we get as much money as possible out of the oil industry? And so that's always been the philosophy with the oil industry. But that's never been the management goal in the fishing industry. For fisheries, what have we tried to do? We've tried to maximize employment, fishing incomes, and a variety of social objectives.
The fishing industry and the taxes on it are likely topics currently on the table in Juneau during the legislature's regular session, which is slated to close on April 17th. I'm Kayla DeRoche.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs, 1-800-992-4960 or online at alaskaboat.com.
Crabbing is the first big commercial fishery of the year for many in Southeast Alaska. Preliminary harvest numbers are in for the Tanner crab fishery, which turned out to be another good year. That fishery opened February 17th, as did the golden king crab season. Golden kings are still going, but it's not looking as good. Angela Denning reports from KFSK in Petersburg.
First, the good news. Fishermen in Southeast brought in just over 1.3 million pounds of Tanner crab from 74 permit holders. That's an average of over 17,500 pounds per permit holder. It's slightly less than last year.
But it was still the second largest Tanner harvest in 16 seasons, with the last season, 2014-15, being the largest.
That's Kelly Wood, a crab biologist with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game in Petersburg, which manages the fishery for Southeast. The price for Tanner averaged $2.23 per pound, 30 cents higher than last year, which makes the whole fishery worth just over $2.4 million at the docks. The price included bitter crab, which are infected with a parasite that makes the crab taste bad. The diseased crab made up 11% of the catch, which is down slightly from last year. Wood says not a lot is known about the causes of bitter crab, but the fishery is still considered healthy.
You know, the population seems fairly strong and seems consistent, so it's really hard to say what's going on.
The core areas of Southeast were open for 7 days, and the non-core areas for 12 days, 1 day longer than last year's openings. District 11 around Juneau had the highest harvest. 524,000 pounds were taken by 30 permits. District 10, just north of Petersburg, saw the second highest harvest, with 259,000 pounds by 26 permit holders. And District 14 around Glacier Bay had the third most, with 12 permit holders bringing in 222,000 pounds.
I think it was pretty good.
Okay, now for Golden King Crab. They bring a lot more money than Tanner Crab, but they are proving more difficult to catch. Only 17 fishermen have reported landings so far in Southeast.
A lot of guys that did go last season did not go this season, considering how bad it was last year and anticipating it being similar this year, and also with our reduced GHLs.
GHLs are the guideline harvest levels, or the max amount that biologists want the fishermen to get. It's all based on how many male crab are old enough to be harvested that season. The state uses port samples to age the crab and past and present harvests to see how things are going in the fishery. They also look at how many crab fishermen are catching per pot. Wood says that number is the lowest it's been in the last 15 years.
Things look not as good as they have been. The stock has declined in health.
The state closed the east, central, and northern areas by emergency order after reaching about 40% of the harvest goal.
Those two areas were definitely areas of concern, and so we felt as though we needed to shut those down early. And we did the same thing last year. Things have definitely continued to get worse. So in order to lessen the pressure on those fisheries, we closed early.
The exact cause of the golden king crab decline is not clear. As with other fisheries in Alaska, more research would be helpful to managers. But with state budget cuts, that doesn't seem likely. What biologists do know is that Southeast's king crab population is worse off than it used to be. It was actually a strong fishery from the early 1980s to the early 90s, with close to 1 million pounds being harvested some of those years. The price for golden king crab has also gone down the last 5 years. Still, it's much more valuable than other species. This season, it's averaging about $10.50 per pound. Last year, it was about $11.86 a pound. It was over $12 in 2014. This year's harvest goal for all of Southeast was just 155,000 pounds, which is less than half of the target last year.
155,000 pounds for the whole.
That seems like such a small fishery.
It is this year. Things don't look that great.
Some areas are still open for golden king crab, but most are not even halfway to their target goals. It's possible that these areas will also close early, but for right now, they remain open. And for now, biologists will continue to use their best guesses as to why the numbers are dropping.
I think there's definitely some cyclical stuff going on. There's also, we've got prey issues. It's a predator-prey issue as well. We've got we're having a lot of reports of juvenile king crab in the bellies of pecod, Pacific cod, halibut, and we know that their levels are up. So that could play into it.
Halibut are eating king crab?
Yeah, they do.
Some fishermen switched to golden king crab once the Tanner fishery closed. Other fishermen have already moved on to other fisheries. In Petersburg, I'm Angela Denning.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amse.org or 907-747-3287.
The Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association has worked on sustainability and fish quality for the past decade. channeling 1% contributions from every drifter into a fund for protecting and improving the fishery. Now the board is ramping up its focus on marketing with a Bristol Bay brand for the region's wild sockeye. From KDLG, Molly Dishner has more.
BBRSDA is working with an Anchorage-based marketing firm to develop the new Bristol Bay brand. Executive Director Becky Martello says the campaign is still being developed and could include everything from a tagline and logo to broadcast advertising.
We're looking to really capitalize on consumer preference for premium wild Alaska salmon and associate the health and the flavor that come from Bristol Bay sockeye and the qualities of wild, abundant, year-round premium sockeye and deliver that. I think we're going to come up with a really good brand identity for Bristol Bay and one that really captures the story of our fishermen in Bristol Bay.
The plan is to start small, testing the waters in one target market this summer. Eventually, the association wants it to go national.
So we'll start with delivering fresh sockeye salmon into this target market and use that period of time to develop brand loyalty and develop our messaging and really get us out in front of the consumer, both in retail market, and we're also working with local chefs and restaurants. And then follow that up with a frozen campaign.
But just where the first round of restaurants and stores are at, the association is waiting to announce the target market until the project is a little more developed. It's also unknown exactly whose fish will be used right off the bat. Martello says participants will have to meet certain quality specifications.
Our goal is to bring all processors into the fold, and we've had a really favorable response from the people that we've already talked to, and I'm confident that we'll get a lot of people on board here with the project.
Overall, Martello says the effort is similar to the nationally recognized Copper River brand that was developed by the Prince William Sound RSDA, and nets fishermen in that area a premium for their catch. In Dillingham, I'm Molly Dishner.
The Alaska Department of Fish and Game says 2015 was a better year for king salmon escapement and subsistence harvest compared to the previous year on the Kuskokwim River. State Wildlife Management recently released their 2015 Chinook salmon run reconstruction. According to the report, over 150,000 Kuskokwim kings escaped to their spawning grounds, up from a 2014 estimate with just under 130,000 kings escaping. Managers attribute the additional 20,000 fish to early season king salmon restrictions. Wildlife managers have restricted targeted king salmon fishing every season since 2013, citing a low king salmon population in the Kuskokwim area. Subsistence fishermen in 2015 harvested over 16,000 king salmon, up from over 11,000 the year before. They say the jump is in part because more fishermen were using whitefish nets early in the season and because of a volunteer shared catch permit fishing program, which many tribes administered. Wildlife managers also say 7 out of 11 weirs in the Kuskokwim headwaters were seeing more escapement than in the previous year.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
And that's all for this week's edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help from KMXT's Kayla DeRoche in Kodiak, KFSK's Angela Denning in Petersburg, KDLG's Molly Dishner in Dillingham, and KYUK's Charles Enoch in Bethel. From KMXT in Kodiak, reminding you to support your local public radio station, I'm Jay Barrett.